Now, exploration, of course, didn't stop with Columbus. In 1513, Vasco Núñez de Balboa crossed Central America at the Isthmus of Panama and viewed the Pacific Ocean. We think the first person ever to view the Pacific Ocean going, first European, to view the Pacific Ocean going west. In 1519, Ferdinand Magellan set out to circumnavigate the globe. He wanted to see if he could sail all the way around the globe. Now, he died in 1521 in the Philippines, but one of his ships did manage to return in 1522, demonstrating, indeed, that it was possible to sail all the way around the globe, and in the process, providing some clear sense of the sheer scale of the Pacific Ocean and how far America lay from the shores of Japan. Now, spurred on by the Iberian example, North Europeans began to make voyages too. Now, with the southern routes largely cut off, I mean, the Spanish had sailed across the Central Atlantic, right straight over to Central and South America. The Portuguese had gone right round the west coast of Africa into the Indian Ocean. The French and the English, also themselves hoping to find routes to Asia, hoping to open up those commercial opportunities for themselves, began to look for what came to be called the Northwest Passage. They wanted to see if there was a way going in a more northerly route across the Atlantic. It might be possible eventually to reach Asia. Now, John Cabot, for example, between 1450 and who lived from 1450 to 1499, sighted Newfoundland in 1497. So for the first time, we could go back to the legendary voyages of St. Brendan in his little coracle, his little Irish canoe, or we could go back to the greater likelihood that some of the Vikings working from Iceland and or Greenland had actually spotted, maybe even touched on the northeastern coast of what we think of as Canada. But the fact is that it's really from John Cabot's sighting of Newfoundland that we can date something like serious exploration of these lands. But English exploration and colonization didn't follow immediately the trajectory of that in Spain and Portugal, voyage after voyage after voyage after voyage, because England, of course, was bogged down by the problems of the Reformation. England was bogged down by intense political turmoil in the course of the 16th century. And as a result, it was about a century before the English got back seriously into the business of exploring the globe. In 1534, the French explorer Jacques Cartier, born in 1491, died in 1557, sailed up the St. Lawrence River, thus penetrating the North American continent. Now, the St. Lawrence River looked to him like a very promising potential Northwest Passage, but, of course, it proved that it turned out that it took him deeply into, but only somewhat into, the vast North American continent. France, like England, was simply too distracted by political turmoil, by religious strife, and other problems to engage in serious overseas ventures for almost, again, another century. So about a century's lead was given to the Iberians. Now, it's important to say, too, that in Columbus's wake, Hernan Cortes, 1485 to 1546, initiated the conquest of Mexico, and Francisco Pizarro, 1470 to 1541, initiated the conquest of Peru. Between 1492 and 1600, perhaps 200,000 Spaniards settled in the New World. That's a large number. Gradually, a very sophisticated imperial administration, the most complex since Roman times, the most complex imperial administration since Roman times, was created to govern and exploit the Spanish Empire in the Americas. So the Spanish model was quite different from that of Portugal. The Portuguese, as we saw, created trade stations and then an elaborate series of economic institutions to manage those trade stations. The Spanish, on the other hand, conquered land, introduced settlers, dominated natives, promoted agriculture, and extracted raw materials, not least bullion. Tons upon tons upon tons of gold and silver came from the New World to Spain. Now, one of the ironies of the economic history of this period is that an enormous amount of that money, of that bullion, went into Spain and then passed through Spain as if through a rather broad sieve and out to other parts of Europe. It did not permanently enrich or permanently empower Iberia.